Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today, we are talking about the most common brain disease in the world, migraines. We're going to explain what they are, what triggers them, how you can cope with them, and how we can understand up-to-date scientific concepts of the brain in order to live with this gosh dang thing. I get migraines, by the way.
Oh, yeah. This episode's fully for Greg's satisfaction. No. I don't know if I've ever had a migraine, but...
It's crazy. It's so crazy. I can't believe I've
definitely had a migraine.
Only I get them all researched the time. It like this week, and I'm like, why have I lived with this condition for years and years and years?
That's
and
not thought to research it. I know you're the opposite of me because every time I have like a little bit of a sore muscle, I look it up and I'm like, I have cancer.
Yeah, no,
and you're like, you have a debilitating like migraines, and you've like never looked it up. Are you kidding? I would have for sure thought I had a brain tumor.
Kombucha girl. Wow. Oh, wow. I have been doing so much research about migraines this week for this episode, and it's made me much more anxious about them. Oh. It's made me really, I don't
like
think it's helped
it all the time.
Like, yeah, it's helped in the sense that when one comes now, I'm going to be better prepared. And I think it's fascinating because I like live with it and it's such a big part of my life. But it's making me think about it too much that it's affecting me almost more that I'm excited to be over with this podcast and then try and figure out like going
that
forward.
That happens every time we make
it.
An ASAP science about something like. It ends up consuming our life, that thing.
Yeah,
like if it's about sleep problems and we're like not sleeping well,
I can't then. Sleep
yeah, I feel like that hasn't happened to me in a while because I feel like we don't make videos as like that anymore.
Oh, they're gonna be like because
we don't make videos anymore. No, but like, you know, my recent video was like about liquid robots. Like there was no yeah. We used to make a lot of videos. True. About the human body, about like drinking or about not sleeping or about coffee or about like things that were kind of more simple
and can affect your life.
Yeah, whereas now they're more abstract or like covering cool research that doesn't feel as like
that's so true. That was like hell, like when we would always suffer from the thing we were. It's like a Disney Channel like That's So Raven plot. Two science communicators who every time they're researching something it affects their lives.
That's a good premise. Make a TV show.
Yeah. That'll never happen. But again, we've said it before on this podcast. If you want to take that idea, go for it.
Yeah.
Kisses.
It's like a little bit of a royalty or something.
Yeah. Or just be like, I don't even know. We don't need anything. We're fine.
Anything else new?
Like, I got it. I got COVID.
Oh, yeah. Greg got COVID.
Like, you might have noticed that last week there was no podcast. Because Valerie Cherish. Valerie Cherish. Well. I got it. Yeah. So living in Toronto, I don't know where. I'm like gym, restaurant, who knows? Mm-hmm. So it was really hell. It was hell. It was really bad.
You were out. Like, I mean, I wasn't ever worried about your health, but you were like in bed for like 3 days.
It's mostly just like, for me, it was like this thing I've been thinking about for 2 years, 2+ years, that I think I was super scared. So I was definitely like,
oh, like scared when it was happening, because you just like,
well, I'm just like, you were like, you couldn't leave the bed, because I was like, I need to rest. Like, I feel like if I had a job or a thing that I had to do, I would have been able to like go on my computer and like do a Zoom meeting. Like, I'm sure a lot of people have like worked done through it, but I was just like, oh my God, I'm so scared. Like sleep. I wasn't even watching movies. I was just like, Greg, breathe. I just was like breathing deep and slow, just because I was like, I'm just so scared by it, you know? And it worked. Like, I got over it within, I think, 5 or 6 days. And I think if I had been more stressed, or, you know, hadn't just like laid,
had the chance,
and I was just I had, like, recover. Green smoothie, another bus, green smoothie,
bus?
Other club, green smoothie. Lady Gaga meme?
No, I know that, but I thought you were going to like switch the word.
Oh, yeah. No, well, honestly, smoothie. It was like green.
Another vitamin. Green another smoothie. Vitamin.
Yeah, you're right. Like, overpriced, like, cayenne pepper and lemon shot. Like, whatever.
I just like don't know. I'm like, I must have had it, because we were together when you tested positive, but I tested negative, and then I was like, I gotta go.
Yeah, I don't think you must have had it because you left. Yeah, like you're like, that's,
I
totally
know, but
smart.
I just feel that I had a little bit of a headache, but I like truly, I mean, so you get migraines all the time. I get headaches like nearly every day of my life,
we're gonna talk about that. They might be.
Yeah, true. But yeah, I'm just kind of like, want to know, because obviously getting it's not great, but you now have the mental flexibility to be like not worried at all for at least the next little bit, you know?
With the antibodies flowing.
Yeah, you get to feel like you. I'm still like, do I
think you should act like you didn't get it because you tested negative and you left. Like,
I just
think like
I'm
going to
act like my immune system's just really good.
Yeah, no, that's another way you can do it. And that was really cool too. I could feel my glands like next to my crotch. Like, and I was like, oh, it's like, you know when you get the vaccine,
oh, they're
you
like
feel
sore.
The gland sore?
I could never feel it. You mentioned that. I have never felt the glands there.
Maybe I got big
glands. I always feel, if I'm sick, like my glands in my throat and maybe in my armpits sometimes. They got really swollen and sore, but I've never felt that. But I also had a hernia surgery. I'm like, did that affect those?
You're like, oh, my glands are gone.
Like, maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
Anyways, I've recovered. It. Let's get into what do we learn this week.
Okay.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay, so to start, it's not what I, like, I just read this in Nature magazine. If you've been infected with COVID and you get, like, 2 vaccines after.
After?
That's, like, even higher. Like, I mean, it seems obvious, but they were just saying they're now including getting infected with the amount of vaccines. And it's just, like, another additional, like, layer of protection.
Did it have to be after?
This study is...
Was
that were
first
only
infected,
after people who were vaccines. Infected and then got 2 vaccines after were they like essentially were way more protected than people who just got vaccines or who just got infected, etc.
Yeah, I definitely have seen other studies that talked about like even if you were double vaxxed and then got infected, you then had like super immunity. But like obviously it's still up in the air with variants changing and stuff, and we know like the vaccines aren't as effective on Omicron as they were on Delta. But
this was on Omicron, and it was the people who were infected and then were able to get 2 vaccines after had 100% chance of not getting symptomatic COVID for 6 months prior their last
six
dose.
Months.
Yeah. That's sort of how everyone has to think now. It's like, how many months do I have of like,
gosh, it's going to be so weird looking back on this time.
I know.
And like, that's all we could talk about for 2 years.
Okay, but let's talk about something else. Go. You go.
Okay. Mine, very relevant to my interests, sleeping and my partner, you. Basically, there was a study that was looking at whether or not you should sleep in the same bed as your partner and how that affects your sleep.
Okay.
So specifically, they were looking at REM sleep because that's like, you know, not the most important one. Like, deep sleep is obviously
but she good.
Too.
She a good one.
But REM sleep, like, improves your memory, resolves emotional distress, increases social cognition, and increases your general well-being. So they thought, okay, that's, like, a good marker if we can measure how much REM sleep they're getting. And they were measuring their brain activity through EEGs. And they had these couples come in on the weekends. And one weekend, they were all heterosexual, obviously, because no one cares
science.
About gays.
Cancelina.
But they would measure... Like, they would have them come in one weekend where they slept together, and then they would have them come in another weekend where they would sleep apart. And they also, of course, were, like, measuring different aspects of their relationships just to, like, consider other variables. Like, how long have these people been together? How deep was their relationship? How solid is their relationship? All these kind of things. And what they found out is that couples who spent like slept together spent more time in REM sleep and got a better sleep.
No.
Yeah. Isn't that surprising? I was like, for sure, literally last night, I was going to ask you to sleep in the other bed.
Why?
I don't know. I just like felt like I couldn't sleep that well. I mean, you're so funny because, or no, you're so nice because when you can't sleep well, you go to the other bed. But when I can't sleep well, I'm like, can you go to the other bed?
If you had asked me, I would have slapped your goddamn face to the ground.
No, I just felt like, I don't know, I was having...
So why didn't you go up and go to the other bed?
Because I don't like the other bed.
Oh my God.
No, I don't dislike it. I just like, you know, when you're used to... Although, actually, I'm scared of the closet in our room.
No, yeah, exactly. I was going to say, you're always talking about you're scared of that room, and when I sleep in the other room, you're scared of it.
I'm not scared of it. Okay, I am scared.
Continue.
Of it.
Why? So,
basically, the REM sleep was less disrupted when they were together. They found also greater synchronization of their sleep cycles. So when you sleep together with your partner, like your sleep cycles actually synchronize.
This seems
really cute.
This seems like propaganda for heterosexual couples.
And it was strongly correlated with the depth of your relationship. So better.
No, quality. I was going to make a joke earlier like, oh, deeper relationship, deeper sleep.
Literally, well, this is about REM sleep, not deep sleep. Let's make that clear. Okay. The better quality relationships and longer relationships had more synchronization together. The scientists don't really know like what synchronization is doing or why it's important, but they just found when it was happening, people would get more REM sleep.
Well, if you are sleeping next to someone who you don't know well, but like,
oh, why would you be
still
doing that?
Weird. Okay,
oh, you, oh, sorry. You mean like when someone starts dating someone new?
Yeah, or like a one night stand. Oh. Why would anyone ever do that?
No, so I thought, okay, sorry. I'm because in this study, they compared it to being like sleeping alone as a person who is either in a relationship. This study didn't look at solo people, but they compared it to other studies that have been done on people who are not in relationships. And overall, couples generally sleep better. Isn't that interesting?
That's so not what I would have thought.
Me either. Because they, I was listening to a podcast that was talking about this study, and they kind of were mentioning that obviously if your partner's like an extreme snorer or has like a sleeping disorder or something like that, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
But for the general population, it's like the hypothesis on one hand could be that sleeping with someone, your brain allows itself to feel more safe and goes to sleep.
Well, then cuddle up with your loved ones tonight, snuggle in and get ready for that deep sleep.
I know.
I would have thought it was definitely like kick them to the curb energy, but
me
that's
too.
Not it.
I think, you know, there's a time and a place. There are times when I'm just like, I wish our bed was bigger. But our room's too small to fit a bigger bed.
You want a California king bed.
Literally. Is that what she says?
Yeah, the Rihanna song, California
she
king bed.
She sings California. Wait.
Yeah.
No, isn't it California Dreamin'?
No, she's no
in oh that California king bed you, with 10,000 miles apart. No way,
yeah.
California
don't
king
even
bed
try to come Rihanna. For me with Rihanna knowledge, and they're so far apart.
I feel so stupid.
Well, California Dreaming is like a like. It makes sense. People would.
I think
that.
I probably thought it said king bed and was like, "That's the stupidest lyric I've ever heard. I can't. That can't be real."
Never come for that iconic Rihanna album.
People from LA are insufferable. Like they named a bed after themselves.
She's from Barbados.
No, I didn't mean like her. I just meant like that California beds are like
a
thing.
Yeah, it's like back off.
And it's like, why is it different than a regular king bed?
Because it's like
we have such big spaces in our desert home. So he's big, this bed you've ever seen. Sorry if you live in LA.
Yeah.
We like going in there.
Or
actually.
All of California, which has a larger population than Canada. We apologize to all of you.
Okay, what did you learn?
I was learning about the inside of cells. So this was so cool. This is an article I was reading about. Essentially, when you picture the inside of a cell, it's so cool how so much of it is based on these drawings that you like get taught in like grade 9 through honestly all of university. They're still the same drawings.
Yeah.
Part of the article even talks about like the main guy who does the drawings, which I thought was really cool. It's like, what an interesting job. And like,
actually the main guy.
Yeah, he is. But like now, because of like cryo electron, like microscopy, you can like actually see cells. And like, he's sort of like, my job is about to be like not as important. No. Like as a joke, like, and it's cool how similar they are, like what scientists thought and what they're actually being able now to see is very similar. But with that, they've started to realize like completely like revolutionize how we think about how cells work, which is super cool. So like C. elegans is this like worm that you learn about
famous.
All the time. She's in famous. Science. Very simple worm. Like the Drosophila fly. Mm-hmm. Very simple. So like they're, the simpler the species, obviously the easier it is to start to learn about how cell biology works, because mm-hmm. it's like you're essentially getting rid of all the complicated things like in our complicated, gorgeous bodies as a human. And it's like this simple worm. And the main thing when it's growing is it has to decide where the head is and where the tail is. And there's this thing called the pea granule, which sort of like decides what's the head and what's the tail. And when they were watching it with this noon microscopy, they were like, it kind of acts like oil in a liquid. And when they poked it, it would actually separate, but then come back together, kind of the way that oil does in water or oil does in like a salad dressing. And they were like,
this was the worm?
Yeah. The
like pea, if it was separated, it would come
the
back
pea
together.
Granule, which is like a, essentially it's like, think about it as not like a nucleus, but think about it as like an organelle within a cell. Mm-hmm. But it's a part of the process of when it is like growing this worm, deciding which is going to be the head and which is going to be the tail. Okay. So the pea granule, when they were watching it like move and when they touched it, they're like, it's kind of acting like oily.
Okay.
It's called liquid-liquid phase separation. And they
really, it's called liquid-liquid?
Liquid-liquid phase separation.
This is liquid-liquid.
Liquid-liquid phase separation. But it's because like they are both liquids, but, and they're kind of always have been confused because reactions happen in cells faster than they do in petri dishes. Like they're like, why right. is everything happening more efficiently in cells? And they're realizing that there are essentially are these forces that they can't, they're going to be learning a lot more about now. This is like the big, big, big new thing in cell biology. Almost like the way that oil is attracted to oil and water, mm-hmm. like proteins that need to be closer to other proteins to work are being more attracted within the cell. It's they used
That's
to think
why it happens faster.
Yes. In remember cell? How like we were taught that it's just completely random. There's just so much stuff and kinetic energy happening in a cell at all times that eventually it's going to bump in like protein to substrate. Mm-hmm. Now they're realizing there's actually like picturing the way oil works in water. There's these forms of attraction that we're now like unleashing this understanding of with like physics that's making everything happen faster and has been designed like much better than we thought. And now with that, they're like, holy crap, we can like rechange how we make medication. We can rechange how we even understand how cells work. And it's kind of like their example cool. was that like every Nature magazine will have two or three articles based on the new understanding of liquid-liquid phase.
That's cool. Sometimes separation. It's difficult to cool? think. Yeah, it just makes so me think like cool. the future is just going to think we were so stupid. You know, like when we look back and we're like, they truly knew nothing. And now I'm
like, that's
like,
what we do with history.
Yeah. Like in 1,000 years, they're just like, yeah. they didn't know.
They're gonna, they didn't know liquid-liquid phase separation.
It's going to be like grade 3 science.
Honestly, that's really, but at least you're alive for this point. True. And there's actually so much interesting stuff, good segue, about migraines and that, what people
and liquid,
used to
liquid.
Do.
Oh, I see.
And even what we're doing now and in the future, they're going to look back and be like, that was so weird. That's how you were treating migraines, because it's so underfunded and it's so fascinating.
Okay. Well, shall we take a break and then we'll talk about migraines?
Yes, I'm so excited.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Audible. I love to read, but I'm also a busybody freak who likes to read while washing dishes, while running, while on me mental health walk. That's why I think Audible is a perfect solution. So Audible is the world's leading provider of spoken word all in one place. They offer audiobooks, but also podcasts. I didn't know this, but theatrical performances, comedy, and so much more. Currently, I'm listening to The Disordered Cosmos, which I personally love a lot right now, but also really recommend that people listen to The Handmaid's Tale read by Claire Danes. If you've seen Claire Danes cry in Romeo and Juliet, you know she can act, okay? So you can listen to Audible whenever and wherever, making Audible a great place to get lost in the world of entertainment. New members can always try Audible for 30 days free. Like me, that's how I started, and then I just kind of got hooked. Sign up to Audible today at audible.com/ASAPScience, or this one's cool, you can text ASAP Science to 500-500, and then the like promo will come up. Okay, so that's audible.com/ASAP Science, or text ASAP Science to 500-500 on your phone, and the promo comes up. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. People don't always realize that physical symptoms like headaches, teeth grinding even, which I do, even digestive issues can be indicators of stress. And let's not forget about doom scrolling, sleeping too little, sleeping too much, which actually for me is like now, undereating or overeating. Stress shows up in all kinds of ways, and in a world that's telling you to do more, sleep less, and grind all the time, hustle harder, hustle culture. Here's your reminder to take care of yourself, do less, and maybe try some therapy. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. Give it a try and see if online therapy can help lower your stress. Side note is sponsored by BetterHelp, and listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/sidenote. That's betterhelp.com/sidenote.
Study time.
Did you know that some British people call it migraines? Migraines?
You're lying.
I'm not lying. And apparently it's more correct.
Migraines!
Because it's based on like the French word that apparently like when we were all started to talk about migraines, it was like a French concept. So
they're right.
Ooh, they're probably right, but we're going to say migraines, okay?
Migraine. I mean, why not? You know? Am I? Me?
Yeah. It's the most common brain disease in the world. I did not realize it was
that you have
even
a brain
considered
disease.
A brain disease.
Yeah, so we obviously chose this episode because Greg gets migraines fairly often. Or there's been times when I feel like you get them very often and then you might go a while without having
them.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about it today.
I think that I have had some migraines in my life, but I definitely for the most part feel that I mostly get headaches. There's been times for sure though where I was like super light sensitive, but never to the degree where you like... You kind of say like you might throw up sometimes, and it's like
and I get an
6 to 8 hours sometimes of you just like being in the complete dark.
Yeah.
Relaxing.
Like I definitely get migraines based on like all this research. I'm like, this is the exact experience I go through. But I think that there a lot of migraine scientists would be like, you maybe have never gone and talked about it with your, maybe you have healthcare professional and you should. Because they were kind of like people, they were sort of like headaches. They're like, if you're ever getting headaches, you should go talk to your doctor. Like they were making
ever,
yeah, it was weird. Like so many of the studies I was reading,
if you ever get a headache, you should talk to your doctor.
If you get headaches,
wait, why?
Because it's worth understanding if it is a migraine, and if it is, they now are having all this incredible research and science, and they kind of are like, you would just be helping to, you know.
But to be honest, I really am almost certain my headaches have to do with screen time and work, because when we are away, I don't get headaches nearly as much.
But that's worth your practitioner knowing, and then like
maybe there's like something about it.
They want people to go and talk to their doctors about this, and in fact, all the things we're about to talk about, it's so underfunded, and what works for some people won't work for others. That is really something you should work out with your general practitioner or a doctor.
Okay.
And that's like a lot of them were just saying like, if you get headaches, like if you are someone who's like, oh, I get headaches, it's worth talking to them because they can at least start to understand and know that you might be someone who suffers from migraine. Weirdly, migraine is the name of the disease.
Migraine, you mean?
Migraine's the name of the disease. The actual experience of it is called an attack. So I have migraine, but then I like...
You have migraine.
Yes.
That's how you say it.
You say, I have migraine.
Oh, no.
Yes. All the studies I was reading, the tense was like this.
You have migraine.
I have migraine. And then I have an attack.
Oh my.
And it's in four stages. So there's like the prodromal phase, and then there's the aura, and then there's the actual attack or the headache. And then there's the postdromal phase. So it's like that all encompasses a migraine, but migraine's the name of like the disease that like I have.
Wow.
I know. That it's so much more intense than I thought.
My partner has migraine.
I have migraine. Hello, I'm Greg. I have migraine.
Okay, before we like talk about why they happen and the science behind it, I think you should talk about what happens to you specifically.
Okay.
Just like your own experience that I think will explain to people who don't have migraines. Funny. Because before I met you, I don't think I really knew anyone that had migraines. Or maybe I did, but I didn't really like understand the depth to which it changes your life.
Yeah, so I have a disease
called migraine.
The first one I ever got, I remember it. I was...
You remember?
Yeah, I remember. I was 17 years old, and I had just eaten a white chocolate macadamia nut cookie.
Oh.
And then I got the aura, and I was like...
So okay, what's the aura?
Having an aneurysm. The aura
in the version of like your experience, not necessarily.
Okay,
yeah,
because we'll talk about the science of the aura later. So the aura for me, which is a common one, is like if you look at the sun, which you should never do. Okay, that's a bad example. If you look at the sun reflected off of a car, or you mistakenly look into like a strong light bulb, and then you look away and you see the like remnants of it in your eyes, it's like that appearing out of nowhere, and then it spreads to the side of your vision. Recently, mine have been these like C shapes of zigzags, which zigzags are really popular aura patterns, which is
super popular.
Everyone's
dying to get a zigzag aura.
No, it's so weird because when you read these things and you go through it, it's just so, I just don't know why I hadn't researched it before this week. Literally, they were saying.
Absolutely disturbed that you have never researched
it. Well, because I feel like I know how they are for me. And so I'm like kind of have them under control.
With it that way.
But the zigzags have been so clear in my auras in the last 2 years. And the fact that a lot of these studies talked about zigzags being really popular, I was like, holy shit, I felt seen.
Or rather not seen, because the zigzag was in the way.
So I also sometimes will just go completely blind on one side of my head. Or like one time we were downstairs and I'm like, where'd the TV go? I remember that was so scary. I was like, the TV's gone. And I was like,
That was the scariest one for me. Because you were like, I can't see.
I was like, we're watching a movie and the TV just disappeared. Like the wall was gray, and I was like,
I need to call a hospital?
And then I was like, I think
it came back slowly. My experience of you having them is that you're always like, and we'll just be walking somewhere, and he'll go, oh no. And then I get really scared because I think there's like something scary that's about to attack us. And then you'll go, it's happening. I got the glow.
And then I turn around and I walk back.
He runs back to wherever, and he's like, okay, we have to get Avalon, Tylenol, and we have food and water, and like you go crazy. But then basically you like lock yourself in a room. It sounds from my perspective like the glow is actually not pain. It's just a visual sensation.
So the aura consistently happens an hour before the pain. It's very like consistent.
So at least it gives you that bit of warning to be like, you have 1 hour to get yourself somewhere where you can settle.
But it's always hell because you're like, oh wow, this day is now going to be me literally like, recovering. Crying. So the other thing I didn't realize is I vomit a lot. I like will barf.
You mean when you're having a migraine?
Yeah. And it's because they have realized that neurologically it actually, what's happening in your brain connects to your vagus nerve and it causes people to throw up.
Oh.
So there's theories. One, the theory used to be that your body thinks you're dying and it's just trying to get the poison out of you. But more recent research has found that there's actually connections within your spinal cord and your brain that's hitting your vagus nerve. That's maybe like just making you barf. Off. And I was like, oh my God, because I barf. Like I just barf.
I haven't really thought about how I have probably not barfed in like 15 years.
I mean, and if I didn't suffer from migraine, I wouldn't either.
It's so weird because when you're young, you kind of like barf all the time.
You barf a lot.
And you're just like, that's a normal existence to be like, I'm sick.
Because when you're young, you're like, no, it'd be fun spinning forever. And it's like, then you're barf because you're dizzy. And you're like, that's weird.
But don't you remember? I just feel like anytime I got sick and stayed home from school, I'd have like a barf bag beside me. And like at night, my mom would like put a little basket for like barfing.
Well, you more likely get flus when you're kids. You're so much more
getting exposed.
Yeah,
but it's just like that. And then university age, you're like drinking to oh, the extreme yeah, you can, barfing.
Like, not realize.
But after that, I'm just like, I think I stopped barfing after that. Even when I get sick, I've definitely felt queasy, and I hate barfing so much that there have been times when I probably could have, but I forced myself to.
Yeah, yeah. I think when I'm like, barfing from my migraine, sometimes it's like a bit of like, if I really wanted to, I could keep it in. Like, for example, just got a migraine. That's why it made me think of this episode. And I was in a position where I couldn't just go barf somewhere. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to barf. Mm-hmm. Like when you're at home, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, might as well try this because it might feel good.
Like a release, yeah.
But then, yeah, so that's the aura. The aura is like a visual thing. But some people's auras can be tingling just like in their limbs. And some people stop being able to move half their body.
That's terrifying.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that also a sign of a stroke?
Well, yeah, but like
to
so is probably a lot of these things. Okay, so now let's get into the science, because I feel like I can talk more about my experience with the science.
Obviously, with your experience, I just wanted to say that there's controversy through the years, because people who don't experience migraines often just think it is a headache, right? Like,
yeah,
I think I've heard that a lot of people with migraines don't always get sympathy, because someone's like, just take some Advil, or like, just lay down, and a migraine is like very different than a headache. And some people get migraines like many times
chronically
a week.
It sounds awful. Also, we're gonna get into the sexism later, but it's predominantly happening in women, so a lot of the times these things are just men being like, oh, you're weak, or like, oh, you're complaining. There's a lot of interesting sexism mixed into lacks of research. Yes. We'll get to it.
Okay, so where do you want to start?
Okay, so
what the heck is a migraine?
So first of all, migraine. It is genetic. So it's a genetic disease.
So you can blame your parents.
Yes, if you are someone who has people in your family who have migraines, and you're like, oh, I don't know if I have migraines, but I have headaches all the time, and blah blah blah. Like maybe you do. So it's genetic. There's at least 42 genes that they've been able to find that make you more susceptible to having an attack.
Okay.
And so, for example, my mom gets migraines, my sister gets migraines, I get migraines. Like, my dad doesn't. So it's like, okay, I obviously got it from my mom. But it's interesting because, like, when it happened when I was 17, yeah, I was like, I'm having a stroke. And then it was kind of like my sister being like, oh, shit, you got it. Like, my mom and sister
that was
being
you
like,
realizing, like,
you got it. The disease the disease, you. Like, you got the disease. So it is genetic. And then the way that it gets exacerbated is through, like, physical things that happen to your body. And so what they know happens is that in your midbrain, there's this triggering, which we'll get to. Something happens. In your midbrain, all these nerves start firing off. And these
nerds start going crazy.
Literally, though, like when I think of my neurons, like they are nerds. Like, they're so specific and really good at one thing. These neurochemical pathways essentially go haywire. Like they misfire. And they are you're more sensitive to this happening when you have this like disease.
Okay.
And so studies have been actually able to find and watch people's brains going through migraines, and they're just like, oh my God, everything is just going wrong. Like everything is just like truly just like neurochemically misfiring. Uh-huh. And that is what causes all of the issues that we're going to be talking about. So they at least now have seen them and watched them happen and been like, okay, yeah, that's really bad.
Okay, yeah, because I had read that. So basically people with migraines have a very irritable or excitable brain. So your cerebral cortex is hyper excitable, and it said once the neurons start firing, like when they're not supposed to, they like trigger a wave of a cascade.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they are bumping into each other and triggering all the other ones to start misfiring.
It's literally like a domino what it feels effect. Like. It's like, what is happening in your brain? You're just lying there like, why the hell am I having this stupid problem?
But then I think that's probably when you're having your aura, or probably when, because then it said that after that crazy wave, you have a wave of inactivity. And then that's when, it says the cortical spreading depression, what we call cortical spreading depression, is that wave of inactivity. And that's when chemicals are released into your brain, which vasodilate everything. And like, then the pain comes on.
Oh God, I hate it.
And that they used to think it was just a problem of like blood vessels dilating, which is still believed to be part of it, but it feels like it's so much more complex
now.
Oh
my God, I actually want to barf. Like even thinking of this, I'm like, oh God, I hate this so much.
And that it's important to note, it sounded like through my research that there's so many different pathways as part of migraines that people experience it very different, and different medications and whatever. Like,
yeah,
it's so many different levels that it's just like really complicated. And yeah. Not that I get migraines, but if I did, like mine might be actually different than yours.
Yeah.
Phases of it that
that's why the aura thing was like, I felt so seen when it was like zigzag vision is very common. It was like, okay, I'm at least getting the normal ones. Like when I found out that people, like some auras is that they can't move half their body, I was like,
well, I read sometimes God they lose their speech.
And that's apparently people fumble over their words. Oh God. I mean, I might. Actually, no, I don't think I do.
No, right? I don't think you do. But I mean, you go into a dark room and don't talk to anyone. So
yeah, that's true.
Maybe you do.
Okay, so another thing that I thought was freaking fascinating is there's a prodromal phase. This is pre-aura. Some people who really understand their migraines can know that they're having this. This can happen 2 days before your migraine. That's obviously like it's 2 days and up to hours before.
Okay.
So hours before would probably be easier to understand. But people get irritable. And the really common thing is yawning. People yawn a lot. And then they can sometimes be like, oh my God, it's coming. I'm like, that's crazy. Now that I know that, I want to be like, aware. Am I yawning? People get really anxious, irritable. And then they crave carbs. And that is what has created a bunch of myths that chocolate or these things cause migraines. Because a lot of people have like been susceptible to craving carbs and for whatever reason. And then it's part of this like post-dromal phase. So I honestly just thought it was aura pain done. But it's like, no, there was a pre-aura thing that some people, if you take a migraine journal or if you're really, really on top of this, unlike me who's never researched it, but like four times a year I like die. Some people can figure that out.
It's really hard retrospectively, like unless you're truly diarying every day and like putting it together.
But okay, so also a lot of the medications we're going to be talking about, including Botox and these interesting new scientific ideas, there are people who get chronic migraines, and a lot of the really intense stuff means you have to be getting them at least 14 days out of every month, which I was like, that is hell. Like I at least don't get that. I get like once every 3 months, which is a lot, I feel like. But these people have huge issues in their lives.
Gosh, yeah, you would be like, what's
apparently they can't make plans with friends. It's really bad on mental health. Aww. There's been serious, like, it's really sad, like, really sad, like, just takes of people whose lives are just, like, absolutely awful. And so it's a lot more common than we realize. 1 in 7 people have migraine. So it's like, you're not alone. But anyways, it's
But do you think, do you know if, like, maybe you don't know this stat because I don't. If 1 in 7 people have it, does that mean, like, chronically? Or does that mean
had
a migraine?
1 in 7 people are like when they go to their doctors and they talk they about what migraine. They're going through, they get diagnosed with migraine. So one of the clear indications that you're suffering from migraine and not something like cluster headaches or maybe like a random headache or you're hungover or something, like they were saying a lot of people are like, oh, I had headaches when I've been drinking. And they're like, okay, is that when you are experiencing the actual attack, you are hypersensitive to smells, to sounds, and to light.
Right.
So it was so interesting when I was hearing about this, because the actual attack that I had recently, I was forced to be in public and I couldn't just like go into a small room. And okay, we were in an airport and I was alone and I walked through the security, and you know, when the first thing you do is you get to that duty free. And there was like to walk through perfume. I swear to God, like I've never, like now that I've done the research, I was like, oh my God, I walked into that bright lighting and it reeked of perfume. And I remember seeing Julia Roberts' face and wanting to flip a table. And like, I honestly remember seeing her face and being like, you stupid rich celebrity and your stupid smells. Like I wanted to push the screen. God. Like I was so triggered by it. And I didn't think about it, but after I just remember having this like visceral moment when I saw Julia Roberts' face, and I was like, I hate this.
So angry.
And it's like, oh my God, I was so obviously sensitive to the smell. And I remember on the airplane when people were walking by, I was like, that perfume sucks. Like I was like, oh my God. So that's a really strong indication that it's a migraine, is any of those sensitivities are heightened. That's how they were like diagnosing it in a lot of these papers. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing to know.
To be separate from a headache where you're just like in pain in your head, like not necessarily. Although I would say sometimes my headaches do get affected. When I think I have a migraine is when moving my eyes hurts. Does that happen to you when you have a migraine?
Yeah. I don't want to move my eyes.
Like when I have a headache, my eye movement doesn't bother me so much. But the times I've felt like maybe I had a migraine is when even moving my head, but especially just like moving my eyes, even when they're closed, is like painful. Maybe that's unrelated, though.
This is interesting, Mitch, because I like, I am like, I have migraine. You, I'm like, you should, like, do you identify as having migraine?
And
would you now maybe want to go to a doctor and figure out what is happening? Because it's like, I understand mine so specifically. And the fact that I get an aura, because you don't necessarily have to get an aura. But the fact that I do, it's all so clear to me what's going on. Because it's like, you know, I'm watching this thing happen in my head and then I'm getting this pain. Like, going through how these migraines work, I'm so seen by this. But I'm like, just curious, like, are you now like, oh no, do I have migraine or am I just getting headaches? Like, what do you think?
I don't think I have migraine. I'm not saying it's not possible.
Do your parents have migraine?
Recently we were talking to my family and everyone in my family gets a lot of headaches. Huh. So maybe it's possible.
But none of them have gotten aura or...
Nothing like what you get. No, I don't get an aura ever. But I definitely, I don't know, like, you know, I've talked about it on the pod where there's times where I kind of have like that out of body, like foggy brain, but that's not always correlated with brain pain. Like, there's two separate things. Like, I think a lot of my headaches are just from like being tense, like stress headaches and just like staring at a screen all day. Because when I'm away from my screen on vacation, like, I get way less headaches. Either that and or... if I don't eat properly. So it's days when I like wait too long. It's weirdly I can skip breakfast, but if I eat breakfast and then wait too long to eat again, I will be way more likely to get a headache. That won't go away.
That seems like a migraine.
But that seems like I'm not eating.
Oh.
Right? Like, and my body's like, you're hungry.
Okay, well, I would say based on a lot of these studies, I encourage you to go talk to your doctor about what your headaches are, where they're coming from. They're valid. Your headaches are valid.
Yeah, I know. Well, thanks for finally saying that. No, I think because I feel like I get headaches all the time that I just feel like I am prone to them and they're never as extreme as your migraines. So I don't think I get as much sympathy for them.
I don't get sympathy for my migraines. I just go in a room and
you get to just like take the day off work. Whereas when I have a headache.
Now you're being weird. I'm like, wait, I'm trying to like, you're like getting.
No, because when I have a headache, most of the time I can cure it with ibuprofen, but then I have anxious thoughts about my stomach bleeding because I take so much ibuprofen every week.
Okay.
So I like when I like go a week without taking ibuprofen, I'm like, that's a record.
Wow.
But then I have recently, like, I try really hard. I'm like, can I handle this headache? Like, I have a headache right now. Like, before we started filming, I was like, oh, I have a headache, but it's not a bad one. But I am like slightly dizzy and it is like a rainy, cloudy day right now. So I'm like,
yeah, I think you might have like your own versions of migraine. I don't know. I guess I can't
it's possible.
Say that for you, but you should start thinking about all the triggers. And thinking about, like, maybe, you know, is there certain things happening that are always happening before I get a headache?
Huh. Yeah, I'll think about it. Something interesting about the glow, like, obviously I've never had it and it's not everyone gets it. But you know how he said there's like this cascading effect that goes from one part of the brain to the other? They were saying that's why for a lot of people it will go from a glow because it's going through your visual cort, like sensory part. Then it goes to like a part that affects people feeling tingly, like your physical sensation. And then for some people it goes to speech at the end. And it's because it's literally passing over your brain.
All the different parts of the brain regions.
And speaking of stroke... There is some data to suggest that people who have migraines with aura specifically, especially women, are at a slightly higher risk of stroke compared to the general population.
God damn.
But that risk, it says, is still very, very low.
Okay.
Like, it's just marginally increased. And then it said migraines tend to be more progressive strokes than strokes. So, because it's like, how do you know then if you're having a stroke or a migraine? And the thing was like, when you have a migraine, it kind of comes on. What, right? Like you see the aura, you know what's happening, it takes its time, whereas a stroke is like suddenly.
Oh my God, I need to know that. Because I'm always just like, this one's the stroke, and then.
Well, it is scary, like, no, especially if you're at a high risk for that or if you're older and it's more likely to happen.
So it's, but that's good to know. Migraines are gradual.
Generally. I don't want to like tell someone not to. If you think you're having a stroke, go to the hospital or go to your doctor. Like,
also, there's after the headache, which can last from anywhere from 4 to 72 hours, affects the vagus nerve, you can barf. Also, the headache causes gastric stasis, so that your stomach essentially stops absorbing food. Oh. That's why if you see the aura, it's really important to get your ibuprofen or any medication you want immediately, because your stomach will be absorbing it. Because once the pain starts, your stomach stops absorbing the gosh dang.
Because it thinks you're like in flight or fight or something.
Yeah, like there's different theories about that, but they do know that you have gastric stasis during the pain. So that's another reason why it's good to always have your ibuprofen, your paracetamol, your like pain meds. Because like right when you got the aura, you should take it because it's going
to
not be absorbed.
I'm so curious like how many people listening to this like are listening because they get migraines.
I know. 1 in 7.
I saw an interesting study on high school students. So you said you started getting it in high school.
Right? I started getting mine in first year university. Is my first one.
That's when I thought you said you were 17.
Yeah, I was 17.
Way.
I went because my birthday.
Oh my gosh,
September.
You're right.
It was the first week of university.
Oh my god, that's so scary.
I know, it was hell.
You're like, I'm alone and scared.
And also to this day, if I see a white macadamia nut, I want to. Ralph all over the like if someone's like, oh, I made white macadamia nuts, I'm like, no, that thing traumatized me. Is like I like associate it.
I never
with
thought
migraine.
About how like the name Ralph just like has been
Ralph
given this disgusting
yeah
like image.
Sorry, Ralph.
Okay, so the study I looked at was looking at students with migraines. It was a sample size of over 1,000. So there was they were looking at school start times. 500 of these kids had school start times before 8:30 and 500 had after 8:30. And basically what they found was that the before 8:30 group had 7.7 migraines per month on average. So these are obviously people who have like a lot of migraines.
Okay.
The after 8:30 group had 4.8 per month.
Wow.
So like a pretty significant decrease just based on they were also adjusting for total hours of sleep. And also things like taking preventative medication, days of acute medication, hours of homework, grade level, and missing breakfast. It was like just about when they were starting school, which I know I've done videos and talked about like why it's important that school should start later.
Yeah.
Because it's like
there's another one.
Kids, especially teens at that age, like are naturally meant to stay up later and then sleep in more. But I thought that was interesting that maybe I'm sure you think about your sleep and how important it is with relation to your migraines.
So this was the most important research that I found because it was all about triggering migraines and why they're caused. So for me, I have through my doctor and very limited research, again, I have no idea why I haven't looked this up, have noticed that if I don't drink a lot of water, eat food consistently, or those are like actually the two ones I really go to. There's been some interesting stress ones. Like when I was a teacher, I was so stressed. And the second I would like get the holiday break, I would get a migraine and be like, well, I literally hate my life. And it was like, that's really weird. Why has this happened on every holiday? So what the general consensus is that this is all about homeostasis. So your body, whenever it leaves its homeostatic environment. So whenever you do something to make it so that your body has to change is when a migraine can be triggered. So if you start with food, which is, I think, for me, the clearest one, it's all about your blood sugar. So anytime your blood sugar spikes or your blood sugar is low, like a lot of people who have diabetes would be really aware of this. They were almost saying like you have to think about your life like that when you suffer from migraines. And that to me is the most obvious one. Like the other day when I got the migraine, I was like, I knew after doing this research, I was like, the night before I didn't eat very much dinner. I went to bed super early. I slept in, got up, had a coffee. We were at a weird place where I couldn't just like do what I usually do, which is immediately have my breakfast. Boom. I got a migraine because it was like around like 9:30 or something. And it had been maybe 13 hours. They were saying people who suffer from migraine shouldn't sleep in. If they want to, they should get up, have their breakfast at the same time, and go back to bed. Like you should.
Oh my gosh. So if you want to keep sleeping, eat first.
Eat first.
Go to.
They were literally like, if you want to take this seriously to decrease your migraines, you need to be having a snack before bed and you need to be getting up, having your breakfast at the same time, and going back to bed if you want to sleep in. And then it keeps going down through all these things. Like, for example, sleep. If you can keep your sleep, they said people who have migraine in general need quote unquote more sleep from their understanding of how it works. But it's really important that you get consistent amounts between like 6 to 8 hours. Mm-hmm. So when you think about that study of the kids with the later school start time, it's probably just giving them that buffer of time to sleep in if they did for whatever reason not get to bed correctly the night before. Yeah. It's giving them more time to keep their sleep schedule the same. And so they were like, that's another important thing. A lot of people who care about this go to bed at the same time every night and they can't really play with that. And I notice like I'm more like that than you. Like I'm more crazy about when I go to bed.
Well, it's weird because I like to obsess over sleep, but even that eating thing, like I can just like go without eating breakfast for sure. I do eat it because I'm like, if I'm going to go to the gym or something, I feel like I should eat something. But yeah, I've just noticed like it comes off in a way where I'm just like, oh, can't we just like go an hour later or whatever? But you're like, no, I need to get food and water and all these things like immediately.
And I kind of like always knew that about myself. It's weird how my body, like, it's like your body sometimes kind knows you better than you. Like, I'm just like, I need craving, it. Like, what? I'm going to hate today if I don't. But it's also like, oh yeah, wait, I'm going to get a migraine if I don't.
I know. It's so weird how different our bodies are. And I think about that even in terms of hydration. Like, you are obsessed with hydration, which is like totally fine and normal. And I've definitely become more aware of hydration like since being with you, which is like forever now. But I actually think your body needs more water than
mine. Oh, it does. I still, I peep Tropicana orange juice after drinking so much water.
And I'll just like have a glass of water and it all is clear. And I'm like, I'm clearly not absorbing any of this water.
Oh my
and
God.
And then I have to pee like 700 million times.
I cry of joy when my water's clear and it's like once a year.
Seriously?
Okay, so the other thing about that homeostasis thing is the stress piece. So some people will get it when they're stressed if they have lives that are pretty chill. And then a stressful thing happens, they get a migraine. Whereas I think what was happening to me and what also happens to a lot of people, I was very stressed when I was a teacher. If you have a stressful life and you finally relax, that's a change in homeostasis of your body from that sort of like baseline stress to all of a sudden, boom, you're relaxed and the migraine comes on. So it can be either or depending on like how your life is. Same with physical activity. It's like really important that people like essentially you don't overexert yourself and you don't like, and you also sort of like maintain a healthy sort of like body, because the healthier your body is, the easier it is for the homeostasis of it to sort of like work. And I remember last year I went on like the longest run I've ever went on. Do you remember this? I
came upstairs. You were like, oh,
I came upstairs. I was like, you're not even gonna believe it. Like 12 kilometers in this time. And then I just like, I like dropped my arms and was like, oh my God, I'm getting the glow. And I got a glow. Like, I was like, oh my God, I've never overexerted myself to a glow and a migraine, and that's part of it. Literally, they're like, you've changed your body so much, you've overexerted yourself, and then it made sense that I got a migraine then. So then the other things are carbohydrates. A lot of people who suffer from migraine really bad will go on low carb diets because the carbohydrates spike your blood sugar. And then the caffeine thing also is like, what it is that A, you shouldn't be drinking too much coffee in general. But it's like, if you ever don't get your coffee at the time that your body's used to getting it, then you get the migraine. And sometimes people pitch migraine relief as just like paracetamol with caffeine. And it's just under the assumption that that person probably needed a coffee and didn't get it. And there's just caffeine in there for it.
Weird.
And so it's all just about like, what is your routine? You need to keep your routine the same. And if you're going to change it, you have to be like, okay.
How can you change it then? Do you think you just have to do it gradual?
Gradual. And they also said that
no acute changes.
They're like, it's about thresholds from their understanding of migraines. So say you're, that's why they're like, traveling's really bad. Because say you go and you're traveling and you're in a new time zone, all of a sudden now your sleep's disrupted. It's really important you try and eat really healthy and consistently, keep your coffee the same, keep every other aspect of your life as similar as you can, because you can't control the sleep right now. So it's sort of like trying to figure out all these bits and pieces. And they really think that migraines happen when a threshold has been crossed of too many of those things. Makes and I was sense. Like, oh my God, this is all so helpful for me. I can't believe. I didn't know we knew this much. Everyone always told me we didn't know anything. And then,
well,
okay.
Do you think you, oh, go
sorry,
ahead.
Sorry, I have one more helpful tip. This is just, again, for send this to people you know who get migraines, because this episode will help them. And if you don't get migraines, you're so lucky, and I hope you're interested. If you do get migraines, there's a snowball analogy, which is about how if a snowball is rolling down a hill, the longer it takes to roll down the hill, the harder it's going to be to like push it over or move it.
Yeah.
So you should think about your migraine as a snowball. So the second you see the aura, you have to get on the medication on all of these things, because you need to like nip
stop
it in the
early.
Butt.
It's like prevention.
Exactly. Right. And then we're going to get to like medications, but a lot of the medications, people wait until it gets really bad before they take one of the more intense ones. They're like, no, if you understand your post-dermal phase, if you're like getting irritated and yawning and you think it's coming, take the medication then.
Yeah.
Or if you,
and some people I think are on medication all the time for
it. Yeah. That's
like, I
what's
think I was reading about, it's, targets a specific chemical called CGRP.
Everyone was talking
and
CGRP.
That so it's like, you know, related to the inflammatory response, but that people who have lots of migraines would take it all the time, so you're like preventing that first stage from even happening.
Some, so if you talk to your doctor and again, about severity and just like what you want to do. Some people will go on like low doses of anti-epilepsy medication, low doses of depression and anxiety medication.
Because they're like hitting those spots of the...
Yeah, like, SSRIs. Like these things will help. They've found that these things help. And the reason it's important to talk to your doctor is that some people might be already on these medications because they have anxiety or depression. Mm. How can you work with your doctor and pharmacist to give yourself something that maybe will help with both of those conditions? Whereas say you don't have anxiety or depression, then that's going to change how they might use SSRIs or other things to help mitigate your migraines. But you would actually be taking them all the time. And it's important to be patient because I think taking a new medication like that, it's going to take a long time to see a difference. So some people, I think, you know, maybe do it for a month and give up. And it's like, you have to do it longer. And they also found magnesium. I just bought magnesium supplements because apparently
I had seen a study about marijuana and migraine relief. But the general consensus is that it does help, but there's quickly like, what do you say when you become used to the dose?
Yeah.
So like people who would use it, it would help their migraines, but eventually it would like taper out because their body would just be so used to it that it didn't help.
That's so funny because in the studies I was reading, they were like British studies and they'd be like, well, if you go to the Canadians, they're all about marijuana. Like it's like, they're different countries have different like overall perspectives. And because of like publicly funded like NHS in Britain, like, and they don't have legalized marijuana. They're like kind of not in that camp. Whereas a lot of the marijuana research is coming from Canada, which is interesting. And the other thing about the painkillers, the Tylenol, the Advil, the reason you need to talk to your doctor is that if you're taking that a lot, then it's not going to work when like you do have a migraine. Hmm. So that's when it's like maybe it is smarter to go on some of these other like triptans or different medications so that also when you had a migraine, you can then continue to use Advil and Tylenol, which you might be overusing.
Yeah, and those are the things that I get scared of. I'm like, you shouldn't use those all the time because, you know, acetaminophen or Tylenol is not great for your liver, and ibuprofen or Advil is not great for your stomach.
I feel bad because I never think like that, and like sometimes I will just look at a car that's reflecting the sun and look away and be like, aura, and then like pop, like
yeah, but it's not
so
that
much Advil and Tylenol, and then be like, wait, I actually was just looking at like a light. Like that wasn't an aura. Like sometimes I'm like, Greg, you truly just need to chill out.
I don't think you take too much Advil or Tylenol. And I actually think even though I don't get migraines, I think I take more than you.
Yeah, no, you do. Because you do have that like, and I'm also anxiety like, part so where you're like, weak. Something's wrong.
And I'm always like, my muscle hurts. Yeah. I need to like, take more Advil.
No, you do take a lot. I'm always like, yeah, okay, take another one. Like, use
the only solution.
And you're always like, oh, God, my stomach. And like popping Advil. I'm like, then don't like the Advil.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes you gotta, which is the lesser of two evils.
No, I know. That's fair. It's just, it is funny though. I do see you take it a lot. You're always like, where's the Advil?
I like have taken so much that I know the kinds of Advil that bother my stomach more.
What?
Like kinds? liquid gel Advils I don't take unless I have to eat before I have them. Otherwise I get a stomach ache.
Wow.
But there's like the little just like regular pills that are just ibuprofen non-brand. Love those ones. Can pop them anytime.
Wow. The liquid gels are too much.
They're too much.
Okay, so Botox also now is working. Yeah. And the funny thing is it's like kind of like the Viagra thing where like...
Like discovered by accident.
It was discovered by accident where people were like, why aren't they returning this medication? It gives you boners. The people who were getting Botox for their wrinkles were slowly being like,
migraines are gone.
BTW, my migraines are getting better. And they were like, what? And that's what started this research. So it's like different types of Botox around your forehead, your neck, your temples, that has been shown. It's like, it was like 80% effective in one of the studies I was reading. So that's again, for a lot of people with chronic, at least 14 days in a month is how you could get that funded through the NHS or like public funding, because it's like, they're not going to do it for people who just like me who get it once every like 3 months. Mm-hmm. But like, maybe I was like, I don't want Botox. There's also electrical impulses now. Sometimes they put electrical impulses on people's arms and it distracts the brain. And then their migraine goes away. Like, there's so many things so like, happening. I know. There's so many. It's so crazy.
Look over here.
Literally. Look over here. Oh. Like, oh. I'm like so into this. I mean, obviously, because I suffer from it. It's so interesting to me. But I just like thought there was no option. And I just had to do my thing. And I'm just like, I want to try some of these now. I want to like figure it out.
Mm-hmm. You will. Anything else?
The first recorded migraine was 200 AD.
Okay, now it you're was just like, going to spit up it was like random
migraine
facts.
Migraine facts, like a random Roman emperor.
200 AD?
Well, they were like, this random Roman emperor was like writing about like his experience. Like, and they were like, historians are like, oh, that's a migraine. And it's kind of like, wait, what is this? Is this something that is innate to the human experience? You know what I mean?
I wonder if Ernie gets migraines ever.
Yeah. So they were kind of being like, if it's been around that long. And then what happened was during the Industrial Revolution and like sexism and like capitalism and all this stuff, people started to be like, oh no, it's just women complaining and just like our lifestyle has changed and women can't keep up. So like migraines don't exist. And like they've just been completely, that's when it's sort of like, before that, people were really sort of into headaches, and there's like a lot of like weird like rituals that people would do in culture to deal with what people think were the migraines everyone was suffering from. And then in the 1800s is when this sort of like sexist sort of like rhetoric that like it's all made up, it's not real, happened. And that's why there's a lot less funding and research about this crazy thing that affects so many people, because it predominantly affects women. And science only now is being like, okay, sorry, like you're right, women, this is a serious thing, we can see it happening in the brain. How do we now fix it?
Cool.
But yeah. Do you have anything else?
No, I went through everything.
Is there anything?
I do actually have a headache right now.
Oh.
But it's not a migraine. God. Not a migraine. I think it's just a headache.
But they're different for everyone.
And
so
I'm not going to take Advil.
Yeah, don't take Advil.
I'm just going to lay down.
If you experience headaches with hypersensitivity and you think of migraines, talk
to your
doctor.
Go talk to my doctor, okay?
Go talk to your doctor.
I love talking to my doctor.
Yeah, there you go. And you can do it on like Zoom now or whatever.
I know. Love that.
Oh my God. I want to figure it out. Imagine I never got one again. Oh my God. I'm so excited.
I mean, I don't think you should think of it like that. Even like with my back pain, it's just about like learning how to manage it and improve it. But it's a better mentality to just know like you can make it better. But yeah. don't get upset when you inevitably get one again. If it's genetic, you're like, you're going to get it again.
Literally, there was one study I read that at the end, it was like, there's no such thing as curing this unless CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing in the future, we take it these genes out of the human body. They're like, but that will never happen. Ding, bye. Like, that's how it went. I was like, okay, that is a good way of looking at it. Like, it's a genetic disorder, so it's not going to go away. Okay. Well, thanks for listening. Reach out with your migraine issues. I would seriously love to read them. Like, any migraines that you get or ways that you get them, like, send them to me on Instagram. Like, I will read it like a gosh dang novel.
All right. We'll see you and hear you. You'll hear us next week.
Bye.
Purse.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.